Gallagher.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Breaking news, and that Patriots left tackle Trent Brown, who had a big year for the team last year, has now gotten himself a big deal. And for more on that, Brown going to the Raiders. We bring back Mork and Adam. Adam, what do you have on this deal?
All right, here's a deal that basically cannot be done until Wednesday. But Trent Brown, the Patriots' left tackle, intends to sign a four-year, $66 million contract with the Oakland Raiders. They got Antonio Brown over the weekend. They're going to get Trent Brown this week. What can Brown do for you in Oakland? Brown can do an awful lot. The deal includes $36.75 million in guaranteed money and makes him the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. The Raiders now will take their left tackle, Colton Miller, last year's first round draft pick, and move him over to right tackle. The Patriots lose Trent Brown. They're prepared for that because they drafted Isaiah Wynn in the first round last year.
Hour number two, and that's probably the lead item today. Trent Brown already gone. Legal tampering began at noon, I guess, and that report came out at like 12:10. So the left tackle gone, which relates somewhat to Maz's Rodenheiser take.
Yep, brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric, Metro West local heating experts for over 90 years. Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric, proud sponsors of the Patriots. This is the one I'm not surprised by.
Oh, my God. I thought this was so predictable.
Yeah, they were set up for this, the Patriots were, right? They drafted Wynn last year. They brought this guy in. Like, the whole thing to me, I think I said to you at the end of last week, this reminds me in some way of Gilmore coming in. Like, it's not perfect apples to apples, but Gilmore was brought in so that when they let Butler go, they had a guy already in the operation to be their left corner. This, to me, with Isaiah Wynn was they were going to let Brown go, and now they already have a guy in the operation, first-round draft pick, ready to be the left tackle. If it was Brown or Flowers, I'm keeping Flowers over Brown.
No question.
I'm worried they may keep neither, but to me, Flowers was a bigger priority. I know Murray felt the opposite.
Yeah, I think you should have given the franchise tag to Brown because you have a guy who was, you know, as good as there was in the league at that position, especially in the playoffs. You want him to be protecting the blind side of your 42-year-old quarterback and not putting that in the hands of a rookie who blew out his leg last year. And I get it. Dante Scarnecchia has done an amazing job, and he helped to get Brown paid. And the same with Nate Solder the year before. I'd like the insurance policy of one more year with Brown.
Okay, I just don't think it was ever going to happen, Murray. I just don't think it was.
Oh, I agreed. And you knew this anyway last week when you heard all these rumors of what players they were talking to on the team, including the punter. Trent Brown's name never came up.
Right.
So I had resigned myself to this last week. Like, he's gone.
So, you still hear people say that they consider Wynn a guard. And no, he's not. I mean, he better not be. He better not be, because then you do have kind of an issue. You do have kind of an issue. And I know Dante Scarnecchia can figure it out. And he usually does figure it out. I would say the one spot that sort of is the hardest is the left tackle spot, because you can cover for a guard and scheme up different guys. But if you had a left tackle on your quarterback's blind side and here comes whoever, name the pass rusher, and it's one-on-one. I mean, I don't know what you put a tight end over there or whatever, but I don't know. The left tackle is an important piece. And they've always had a good one. Always. They've almost always – the right tackle's been the carousel over the last 17, 18 years. Left tackle was – Matt Light to Nate Solder to Trent Brown. I mean, that's really it.
So yeah, in that group, Brown's the outlier. He was only here a year.
And worked perfectly. So they've never really had a problem at left tackle. Now go back, and I just want to think, did Light get hurt in 01? I mean, I can't remember now. I can't tell you that the left tackle was healthy every single time they went to the Super Bowl, but in my memory, it was Light, Solder, and this guy. And that's pretty much it since they started this thing.
No, it sounds right. In fact, the year they went to Denver and they, you know, most recently and had trouble, wasn't it Mankins playing left tackle that day because they had issues?
I'm not telling you it's been 100% wall-to-wall, but for the most part, when you look back at it, they've had pretty good continuity at that spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you're talking, Brown's the outlier. He was just here a year. But the other two, like, seamless.
Mankins was long gone by that. If you're talking about the AFC Championship game.
The first one, though, well, whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought one of those games he might have had to play left tackle, and Brady got absolutely battered.
Well, I mean, Wynn better be able to play left tackle. Otherwise, he better be a hell of a guard, you know? You know, you want to take a guard at 21, he better be really good. Mankins was 32. you better be that kind of quality if you're going to draft that position there. So he better be a tackle. There's that, and then the Antonio Brown thing. The Antonio Brown thing. I do put Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown on the same, you know, in the same conversation. You want to talk about asset management and managing an asset? How do you do that if you're Pittsburgh? You've got those two pieces, and you don't have the foresight or the balls to get out ahead of it and say to yourself at some point, well, we're either not going to pay these guys what they want, or this is trouble coming down the pike, and let's get out ahead of it and bite the bullet and deal these guys when they have value. Deal these guys when we still have leverage, when we have an option to trade them or not, and get out ahead of this and get something in return for these two sought-after valuable players. Instead, they lose two Pro Bowl All-Pro. So they're all world talents. I mean, that's what these guys are.
I mean, Brown's arguably in the top three at that position in the league and has been for quite some time. And maybe the best.
Isn't Bell too?
Yeah.
I mean, they might be the best players at their position in the league.
I mean, they're both top three at their position in the league. And you lose them for basically nothing. One of them, you lost a full year of service and then lost them for nothing. So it's not even like you got them through the full balance of your team control. So Le'Veon Bell not only gets you nothing in return, but it was also a season less and nothing in return. Antonio Brown submarines a season, and then all you get is a third and a fifth. And he, again, I know this is all negotiable. I really don't care about this, but just add it to the list. $21 million in dead cap money, which is the highest cap number for a receiver in the league, and you don't even have the guy.
Isn't that unbelievable?
How do you... I mean,
you are paying him more base and cap dollars now, more than any receiver in the league, and he's not even playing for you.
How do you? Could you manage it any more poorly than that?
No, where they really shot themselves in the foot was coming out and saying like, "Well, we can't make it work," and it just proves what an a-hole he is and what he was looking for. It was just about money more than anything else. So, how many teams did that immediately scare away because, like, okay, we're not going to deal with this. And we're not going to give him the $30 million right up front that he's going to be looking for. So, bye. They weren't going to get a first-round pick for him. They screwed themselves by being so open about the negotiations or lack thereof between the team and Brown.
No question. And it's, you know, I see the stories now. Pittsburgh has to make sure this never happens again. You know how you make sure it never happens again? Don't trade him. If all you're getting in return is a third and a fifth and all that cap money, just keep him on your roster and don't have to play him. All you have to do is pay him. So I tell him to go home and eat his ham sandwich, you know, and I don't know why I said ham sandwich, but I just said, well, that just popped into my head. Go home and have a nice tomato soup and enjoy your time at home. You're still on our roster. We'll still, you know, I know that's a lot to pay, but so again, for the 1,000th example, it's about the real money, not the cap money, because he counts 21 against their cap, but they're not paying him a dime in real money. So it just, again, goes to show you, follow the real money, not the cap money. But either way, if you want to prove to guys that they can't shoot their way out of town, don't let them shoot their way out of town.
No, that's right. Make them suffer, and that way it won't happen again.
Unless you win the trade. You know, if you win the trade, you win the trade. And then you can justify it, saying, well, yeah, you want it out, but we, you know, we're the ones who won at the end of the day. But other than that, no, just let them stew. Let them stew. Don't let them go anywhere. And then see if the next guy wants to do that. That's how you end that.
I mean, look at the flip side of that, because to me, you know, they're sort of related, and that's Oakland. Gruden traded Amari Cooper and got a first. Then he got Brown for a third and a fifth.
Pretty good.
And he's got Brown for how many more years now? Three?
Three. Well, they had to give him a whole new contract. Oh, my God, this Antonio Brown.
Like, talk about landing on your feet.
Well, landing on your feet. How do you let him do that?
No, you get rewarded for being an a-hole.
How do you let him do that? Not just shoot his way out of town. He gets to pick his destination because the Bills were that close to making the trade, and Antonio said, Brown said, I ain't going there unless you pay me. And then the Bills said, well, screw this. So Antonio Brown was able to sort of pee in the pool and sort of shut out whoever else wanted him. So not only did he get to shoot his way out of town, he got to pick his destination, and he got a new contract out of it when we had 3 years to go in his existing one.
Yeah, he leveraged the crap out of him is what he did, and he got everything he wanted.
And the Steelers let it happen.
Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. And again, you can't leave the Bell part out of the discussion here either.
To me, it's the same. It's part and parcel.
They had the most talented skill set in the league when you really weigh it out. I'm going all over the field now. Between running back and wide receiver, they had the most talented, skilled players in the league.
And basically got nothing out of it other than a lump of dead cap space. I mean, really?
And a third.
Think of that. I don't even count. Okay, fine.
The third, I give them. The fifth, I don't. Like, I didn't give a rat's ass about the fifth. I told you, anything after the fourth round, forget it.
And depending on what they sign, they might get a comp pick for Bell. But, okay, so two picks at the end of the third. I mean, really, how do you do that?
Gross mismanagement. Gross mismanagement.
So I'm sorry, but I just can't help looking at that. I go, well, that's why the Patriots are always there, because everyone else are flipping morons.
Well, proof of this, too, and just to also prove to how crazy the money is going to be that's being thrown around this offseason, the Detroit Lions are
signing. Hold on, can we – is it I'd like to play with our breaking news sounder if we – does it deserve it?
Not really.
Okay,
he was a one-time Patriot, but the Lions are signing a one-time cornerback of the Patriots, Justin Coleman, to a four-year deal worth $36 million.
Holy crap! What?
The highest-paid nickel corner in the NFL now.
4 years, $36 million for Justin Coleman?
Yes. He who was traded to the Seattle Seahawks for, I think, like a seventh-rounder.
No, and
Cassius Marsh.
Cassius Marsh, yeah.
Holy crap! That's the worst contract I've ever heard. That's Patricia?
Yeah.
He's going to get fired. That's a fireable contract. Holy crap, is that bad? Seriously, you want to tell me 4 years, $36 million, like for a guy who's halfway decent, fine. Like, okay, this is a free agent. That guy? 4 years, $36 million for Justin Coleman?
Can he play?
No. Oh, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Patricia's going to get fired. By a year from now, he's fired. He's out of a job. Holy crap, that's unbelievable. When you said, check out this contract, I thought you were going to say, 2 years, $12 million. 4 years, 36 for Justin Coleman?
That's correct, Mass.
Oh, my God. That redefines stupid. Redefines it. Holy crap. Wow, I'm done.
Back to your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stephen A., as a Steelers fan, how do you feel about this AB trade?
My apologies to ESPN. I'm not supposed to use this word. I'm pissed off, and I'm going to say it. I can't believe that the Steelers made this move. And I'm going to tell you why. Forget what they do, and I promise I won't use the P word again, but forget what the Steelers ultimately are going to do. This does not matter, Max. It does not matter, Lewis Riddick. It does not matter what Kevin Goldberg and Mike Tomlin and Steelers organization led by the Rooney family does moving forward. If I started off this season, if I started off free agency and I said to you, arguably the number one receiver in football and the number one running back in football are going to end up being a third round pick, a third round compensatory pick, and a fifth round pick, what would you say? I would immediately, somebody would immediately be demanding that I be drug tested.
That's Stephen A. on the Antonio Brown situation. So, good God.
I'd like to apologize to the people at ESPN.
You can't say you're peed off on ESPN. I can't say it here either. Well, that was the old regime. I don't know. Anyway, back to your phones. On Patriots, yeah, a little bit of Bruins. We'll get to the Celtics this hour as well on a re-entry Monday. Bob in Needham. Go ahead, Bob. What do you got?
First of all, I could care how you guys are doing, so let's get that out of the way. Secondly, Mass, did you just say that anything after a third rounder, you don't care about?
Fourth.
Wasn't Antonio Brown a sixth rounder? And wasn't Terrell Davis a sixth rounder? Wasn't Tom Brady a sixth rounder? Wasn't Edelman a seventh rounder?
So yep.
The back half of the draft. So you should care about that. The fifth round, the fourth round, you can get good players. So you were wrong about that, obviously. And Felger, what are you, the financial guru for the Patriots? I mean, what do you care? If we can get him for a bargain, Earl Thomas or whoever it is, what do you care about the finances of the Patriots? You told me last year they were $20 million under the cap. And what happened to that $20 million? Does it go into somebody's pocket or do they get to spend it this year? No, it doesn't roll over. It does roll over. So they get 20 more extra million this year?
Well, I don't know what they ended with last year, but whatever.
It's 188, I think, this year, million.
Yes.
They can add 20 million to the, so now they have 208 to spend?
Okay, like I said, I don't know what they ended with, but whatever they ended with, they're allowed to roll into this year. Yes, they are allowed to do that. They do that. That's why some of these teams, like the Colts, have $130 million or something.
It's a preposterous number.
So you can roll over. Okay, so you can. That's A. And B, you're right. I don't care about what they spend. And I think the cap is 95% of the time complete garbage. And the Michael Bennett thing is the most latest example. So I don't care what they spend. I want them to spend. And I think the cap is a hellacious excuse. It's just in my analysis, I have to factor in the money because it's such an important factor for them.
Sure.
Okay, so that's what I'm doing. And right now, stand by because we have breaking news for you.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, we know where Trey Flowers is going. This from Adam Schefter of ESPN, official with the blue check mark. Patriots defensive end Trey Flowers intends to sign with Detroit, per source. So the spending spree continues with the Detroit Lions. Adam Schefter saying Trey Flowers is heading to the Lions.
That blows.
It does.
Of course it blows. Again, you know, this to me was the guy they should have made a priority. So if you're a Patriots fan, this is the one you should be pissed about. Yeah, I didn't even factor in all the stuff you were saying earlier. It's so true, though. When has this guy ever drawn attention to himself for something negative?
I mean, he's like, to me, he feels like the prototype, like if they could draw it up in the laboratory, the perfect do your job Patriot, don't make any noise, just show up and do your job, this would be it. I mean, never heard him chirp about one single thing ever. I just saw him making plays and being out there and being a factor, and never heard him say anything, never heard him do anything. Like, even Malcolm Butler, who I liked a lot as well up until that last year, you know, there were little signs there. He could be kind of cocky or kind of mouthy, or he, you know, was showed up late to that whole offseason camp at one point. They had to shut him down. And so, you know, if you looked hard enough at Butler, maybe there were little cracks in there. Where are the cracks with Trey Flowers?
There aren't any. I'm pissed off about this, although I will say that, to me, you could see it coming.
Well, you're right. You felt that way from day one.
And again, I look at the timeline. Again, I don't know why the other part of it didn't occur to me until this morning. But all the pass rushers on the market, all the defensive linemen / outside linebackers, all of those guys were franchised except Flowers. Not all of them, but many of them, which put Flowers in a tremendous position in terms of bargaining power and leverage. Once that happened, the Patriots got Bennett. It's like they knew it. They knew it. To their credit, they knew it. So, like, and I just, the more I kept hearing, and I was hearing it still this morning, the Patriots haven't ruled out. They want Flowers and Bennett. That's what they want everyone to believe.
Of course.
But they knew that the price was going to be exorbitant and that they weren't going to match it. So they had to make sure they didn't get caught with their pants down and they went out and get Bennett. That's what that whole thing was about.
Maury, do you have money?
Yeah.
So hold on. Let's guess. The franchise number was 17. Okay. So that to me is always the baseline. And my guess is the first 3 years have to average at least 17. The first 3 years have to average at least. So call that the guarantee. 34. I'm going to say he made between 40 and 50 guaranteed at least 17 a year.
Oh, wow. 40 or 50 guaranteed. That's high. Oh, I wasn't going to go that high.
Well, I mean, I bet they're going to guarantee the first 2 years at least. That's 35.
Right. So I was going to say 4 years. 72, 36 million, half of it guaranteed.
Well, all I have is this from Field Yates. From Adam Schefter, Trey Flowers' deal with the Lions expected to be something close to 16 to 17 million per season. Massive. We don't know the years.
Okay, so I said 17. It's really, when the franchise tag is 17, it's not massive to have an AAV of 17.
Agreed.
Because that's the top five AAV at your position.
Sure.
So if you're going to be the top free agent, and he was the top free agent on the board that wasn't franchised. You're going to make top five. It's just, so 17 makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I went 18.
And, you know, but to me, these deals are always judged in the first 3 years because those are, while not true guarantees, they're effective guarantees. You know, you assume in year one, there's nothing they can do to cut you because that will be guaranteed. Year two, it's mostly guaranteed, and they're going to see it through to, you know, I mean, it's just the way these contracts are handled. So the first 3 years, the money in the first 3 years, I wouldn't be surprised in the first 3 years it averages north of 17 and that at least a couple of those years are guaranteed. And so that's why he came up with $40 million.
Flowers led the Patriots in sacks, quarterback hits, and forced fumbles.
And never said a word.
Forced fumbles a big one. He was good at that, punching his hand in there and knocking the ball out. That's a big one. Like, that's not something we don't pay enough attention to. With him, it wasn't fluky because he did it over and over again. Oh, that's irritating. See, like, this is where you should get pissed off. You got a good young player that you drafted in the middle rounds. He was a fourth-round pick, for crying out loud. You hit the jackpot on it, basically, and then it comes time to pay him, and you don't pay him?
So this is my whole—this is this category. So how pissed off should I get when it's not going to matter at the end? Because the best teams in your conference just sort of leak away their best talent, like Pittsburgh, get nothing in return. Or the up-and-coming team that's going to challenge you in the conference has a coach who has Andy Reid, just zero clue how to finish a ball game. And it's not going to matter. And the other really good team in your conference can't travel east, the Chargers, and play out east. Or they are clueless, too, because their defensive coach just plays the exact same scheme against you every single time. So it's like there's like two different sets of analysis. Is it going to matter? This ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter. Everyone else sucks and is stupid. And that's what the league's become. No one else can figure it out. You can, they can't. So it's not going to matter. Now, do I like it? Of course, I can't stand it. Can't stand it. You'd like to think that those are the guys that you would reward, and they have in the past. They certainly have in the past. You know, Devin McCourty came back at a top of the market contract. Dont'a Hightower got paid and came back. They don't pay everybody. They don't let everybody go. They'll make that exception every now and then. Just felt like Trey Flowers would be that guy.
See, to me, we should have known this way back when. Because, again, they signed Shaq Mason before the season started. They didn't sign Trey Flowers. So let me ask you that question. Who would you rather have, Shaq Mason or Trey Flowers?
Not even close.
It isn't close. And I know they're different positions at different values, and Mason's $10 million a year and Flowers is, you know, 16, 17, 18, whatever the number is. But I still look at that and say, I'd rather take the $10 million you gave Shaq Mason, pay some guard too, and give the money to Flowers.
Of course.
I'd much rather do that.
I mean, we could play this game as much as you want. Why don't you peel off Adrian Claiborne's money? Why don't you peel off Dwayne Allen's money? Why don't you peel off Shaq Mason, who's a really good player, but, you know, fine. Just get by with a street guard. Peel back all that money, and you've got money to sign Trey Flowers. You can play that game as much as you want.
See, you know what? The other part of it that pisses me off, too.
Is it going to matter?
No, well, probably not. I mean, but on some level it might. When they get to the Final Four and they don't have an impact player, or...
And then Andy Reid's going to let his timeouts expire and the clock's going to run out and you're going to go to another Super Bowl.
Okay, but still...
Can you tell how beaten down I am, Ryan?
Yes, I can tell beaten down you are.
Oh, yeah, no, you're a broken man.
It's not even worth discussing.
Yeah, I'm not as beaten down as you are. There were years where stuff like this has bitten them in the ass. And so I'm sorry. I can't just let it go. I can't just let every move they make go and hit it with the trump card of, well, it isn't going to matter because they're better than everybody else. This one should... The part that bugs the crap out of me is they are admitting how good Trey Flowers is by going out and getting Michael Bennett as his replacement. Like, I look at that and say, well, wait a minute. They understand there's a huge hole to fill there. So look, from the money standpoint, they played it right. They saved themselves some money, no question about it. Michael Bennett at 7.2 or 8.2, whatever the number is, versus Flowers at 18 for 1 year, that's smart business. It is. But longer term, and who's the better guy and all of that? Flowers. Like, so to me, and this is where I get agitated as I sit here and I say, Flowers, to me, that guy's a force. And there are football people, some of whom we have on the program, that will sit there and say to me, oh, he's not as good as you think he is. Well, then how come they went out and get Michael Bennett to replace him?
Bedard thinks he's not as good as you think he is?
I didn't say him, but maybe.
I've never heard anyone really say anything bad about him.
Yeah, me either.
Until but now.
Here it comes.
Now it's coming. Now we'll find out the flaws in the Flowers game. I didn't feel like he had any. I felt like he could do it all. He doesn't put up the gaudy numbers or the gaudy plays, but I don't think the defense isn't conducive to that.
Correct. It's because they don't ask him to.
They don't free him up like that. So anyway, That's the latest, folks. Breaking news with the Patriots. Their best defensive player, in my mind, gone. Details here in the update. Back with more of your reaction.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Biggest defensive free agent is going to sign with the Detroit Lions. Trey Flowers, another former Patriot, going to reunite with Matt Patricia.
Wow.
And Bob Quinn, the general manager in Detroit. Trey Flowers, pass rusher. We're waiting to see the terms, but again, it looks like it'll be something close to $16, $17 million a year. It'll be a big deal in Detroit. But Trey Flowers intends to sign with the Detroit Lions, that just in, one of the biggest names on the defensive board, coming off. Landon Collins going to Washington. Trey Flowers going to the Detroit Lions.
NFL free agency is amazing. I mean, this is not great news for the Patriots. But, boy, they create this legal tampering period to let teams talk to players and agents behind the scenes so as not to have tampering before free agency. Free agency starts Wednesday at 4, people. So they create this legal tampering period to eliminate that farce of no tampering before free agency starts, because they know everyone talks. So they create this now tampering period 3 days before, and then as soon as the tampering period starts, all these names come off the board because they've been illegally tampering for days before this. Like, the whole thing is...
No. Baseball goes until spring training and nothing happens. Football doesn't even start and they're already all gone.
They don't even get to the legal period before the actual period. The thing opens and all the big names are off the board. It's a frenzy. It's tremendous.
It is. It's incredible. And think of all the players already that are firing off all over the place.
Yeah. These deals were drunkenly done at the Combine in Indianapolis.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I believe that. I do.
Just a quick update to this from Jeff Howe of The Athletic, who just tweeted that the Patriots' best offer to Trey Flowers hasn't been disclosed, but a source close to Flowers said the Lions' offer was significantly better.
Tell me you haven't heard that before.
So there's that. And in his place, you get Michael Bennett. How do you feel about that? Okay. Landon Collins, apparently, it's interesting. You know, Earl Thomas asked for $14 million a year, right, or two at 30. Landon Collins' deal with the Redskins is going to be 6 years, $84 million, which is?
$14 million a year, exactly.
It's like these guys know their exact market. Now, Earl Thomas can't possibly get the years because of his age and whatnot. But, you know, pie in the sky. And I'm not telling you they're going to. I'm not telling you they ever would. But I would love that kind of player. Like, that would take the sting out of Trey Flowers a little bit if you got a playmaking safety like that. And there's a few out there. Earl Thomas is my favorite. Sort of a Rodney Harrison redo from 2003.
Yeah, if you hold your breath on that, let me know and we'll come over and resuscitate you later.
I'm definitely not holding my breath. All right, to your phones, Chris and Saugus. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, hi. I just got a wide receiver for the Patriots. I want to know what you guys think about it. Maybe 2 years short money. I know you probably won't like him, but Michael Crabtree. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, how do you feel about Crabtree at this point? How old is he?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like him when he's healthy.
Me too.
Tough.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a scrapper, right? Yeah.
And big. And typically, over the course of his career, he's had good hands. Like, I remember Jim Harbaugh, and I don't know what it is now. Maybe his hands have slipped a little. Because it felt like he was in Baltimore most recently, right?
Yeah, 31. So he'll be 32 at the beginning of the season, and he's 6'1".
What's the a-hole factor there?
I don't think it's that bad.
I don't know. Again, like, remember, he had his chain snatched by Aqib Talib. He didn't fight back. If anything, he might not be enough of an a-hole.
Interesting. Yeah,
I thought he was bigger than 6'1". He plays bigger than 6'1".
He plays big, right. He plays tough. So, fine. Yeah, I'll take that.
I remember Harbaugh saying when he was in San Francisco that he thought Crabtree had the best hands in the league. I like Crabtree.
Just looking at it, kind of a down year for him. He only had 3 touchdowns last year with Baltimore, but the prior 2 years with Oakland, back-to-back 8 touchdown years. And before that, the first year with Oakland, 9. Like, I don't know. He can get it. He's a good weapon in the red zone.
Lane in California. Go ahead, Lane, on the Pats.
Yeah, for Brown and Soldier, they should be at Dante's Hall of Fame induction and pay for a first-class cruise as he retires. The other thing on Flowers, I think, too, is he is reminding me of Jones, and I hope we don't lose the pressure that we did after Jones left for the Cardinals.
Okay, so reminds you of Chandler Jones in that, just the impact in the pass rush. To me, it's just, he just does everything. And it's not just, you know, and we'll see. Are they going to scheme up the pass rush like they did last year? A lot of that was scheme, but Trey Flowers fitted perfectly because he could keep up with everything that you were doing. He could do everything that was asked of him in just the exact fashion that they asked him to do it. I think those guys are kind of rare. And so I don't think they can replace Trey Flowers. They can get an older version and sort of piece it together with different guys, Michael Bennett and then something else. But I don't think they're going to get that kind of complete player at that age, homegrown like that. They're just, you're not going to be able to duplicate that. You're not. What was the first thing that he said? Did he have a first point?
Skarnecki should essentially get a cruise or something, considering the money that was made in the last couple of years.
Well, for Trent Brown.
Yeah.
Trent Brown.
And Solder.
Perfect example of a guy. Solder, I think, could play. Solder was a first-round pick.
It was established, yeah.
You know, but also, I mean, I think that Solder, I could reasonably expect wherever he went, was going to be a decent NFL left tackle. I mean, the guy was huge. He's technically sound. Middle of the first round. The Pats weren't the only team in on him. Like, I think he would have been okay. Maybe not as okay. But Trent Brown, this guy was eating himself out of the league. He quit in one place. They wanted nothing to do with him. Comes here, and all of a sudden, he's the highest paid left tackle in the history of football. I mean, that is Dante Scarnecchia and Tom Brady. Gets rid of the ball lightning quick.
Absolutely. And look, the caller brought it up, but Schefter tweeted something like that out, I don't know, 90 minutes ago, earlier, after the Brown deal came sort of to the surface. Schefter tweeted out that, you know, pointing out that Scarnecchia's last two left tackles got paid big on the market. So I think the guy stole it from Schefter.
Either way, it's true. Josh in the Berkshires. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how you guys doing? I think the biggest difference between Bennett and Flowers is that with Bennett, you're kind of getting a selfish player. And I think with Flowers, you had a selfless player. And I think that the linebackers may be the ones at the biggest disadvantage with this. You know, come playoff time, when you have Michael Bennett pushing the edge, you know, is he going to make the selfish play to go for the sack? Or is he going to make the play that benefits the team and the linebackers? So I think you might have Hightower and Van Noy as the guys at the biggest disadvantage with this Bennett trade.
I think that's an excellent point. You know, and I'm not up on all the technical parts of it like Bedard or some others would be, but Flowers to me felt like a player that didn't take shortcuts, didn't fly by, didn't give up his assignment to go make a flashy play, didn't, you know, he would take on the blocks when they were there. He didn't Olay them to create bigger openings. So my sense is if you watch Trey Flowers on tape and really dug in, that he always made the sound play, even if it at the expense of his own personal sort of involvement in that play. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Never any kind of freelancing nonsense you saw with Jamie Collins before they traded him.
Exactly. So there were times where he just had to take on the block and wouldn't be able to make the play, and he would take on the block. And he was just that kind of player. Where there's a lot of guys who say, no, I'm going to shoot that gap, or I'm going to go around the outside to try and get in space and make a play, and in the meantime, give up a big lane. And I don't think he was that player.
Yeah, and as good in the run game as he was in the pass game, all the way around. And Murray, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you had Jeff McLean, it is, right, of the Philadelphia Inquirer, who covers the Eagles?
Yeah.
When you had him on over the weekend, didn't he say that there was some question about Bennett's ability in the run game?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, so I immediately hear that, and I think the caller's on to something.
Well, just look at the pads he plays with. Are those shoulder pads meant to stand in a gap and take on a guard and then put your head into a running back,
no,
into his thighs?
No, he's like a part-time player. That's it.
Is Bennett a part-time player?
Just feels like a pass rusher to me.
But those pads are someone who just wants to split the gap and get upfield. It's not someone who's going to take on guards.
No. I mean, I think he's a three-down player.
But don't tell me he starts. Don't tell me he doesn't play first down.
No, I think he plays them all. But I question, you know, what the caller said. Is he just interested in going to kill the quarterback and you're going to be able to run right by him?
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Trey Flowers out, Michael Bennett in. Oh, and Michael Bennett wants a raise. Don't forget that. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
If you're on the trading block, you're just a part of the game. But at the same time, I still know that I'm still one of the best players in the NFL. You look at statistically last year, quarterback hits, TFLs, and how I approach the game. I love football. And whatever team I'm on, I'm going to take that same attitude and go out there and be a nasty player and try to dominate on our defensive line and be the best teammate and the best player I could possibly be.
Are you affected by it, though? Like, you see your name being on Twitter and you see your name on NFL Network. Does that affect you as an individual?
Well, because you're on vacation, you're like, wait, like, what's happening? And so you always caught off guard whenever your name is brought up in the trade blocks or being traded, but you understand that, you know, people want to acquire your services, and I think we in a tough situation as far as the salary cap, and I'm not willing to take a pay cut. I actually want to pay raise at this point, and so whatever happens, just to know whatever team I go to, I want to get paid more than what I'm getting paid right now.
So that's Michael Bennett. Last Friday morning on Good Morning Football, set to make 7.2, but that's not going to get done, Patriots. He wants more. So we'll see if he really sticks to that coming here. So what he said on Friday before the trade went down, we shall see. Again, example number 14 million, how the cap is crap. Although this one is different, is that the player used it as an excuse this time. Obviously not a money issue in Philly, because today Philly has also signed Malik Jackson to $10 million a year, defensive lineman who's not as good as Michael Bennett. Used to be in Denver, then went to Jacksonville. Today got $10 million a year from Philadelphia. They also re-signed Jason Peters, their fine tackle, to a deal that could cost them up to $10 million a year, and are also in on a trade for DeSean Jackson, who makes some money. So Philly had more than enough money to pay Michael Bennett. And so, Michael, usually it's the owner that says, well, the cap prevented us from doing this, which is almost, you know, 95 times out of 100 a lie. The cap becomes an ownership excuse. But in this case, it was a player excuse, because the player was about to get his ass fired. Michael Bennett, they were about to ditch Michael Bennett in Philadelphia, and he blames the cap to make it look better for him, when it turns out it had nothing to do with the money. The money was actually good. They had the money for him. They just didn't want him there. They fired him. So why? So the question now becomes why. Just generically speaking, the guy's an a-hole, which he might be.
Generically.
I mean, just one of those generic a-holes. Garden variety a-hole. And we don't want an a-hole. We don't want to deal with this a-hole. Entirely possible. We're sort of guessing here or wondering if Bennett was one of the voices against Carson Wentz. Because, Maz, I'm sorry, I thought it was Murray, but you sent that story today on the email chain. And you read some of the quotes of players questioning Carson Wentz, and boy, it sure does have the whiff of something Michael Bennett would say.
Absolutely, that he was a selfish player.
Here, and I'm just calling it up right here, because Michael Bennett, you know, we heard him talk about Shiano. We heard him talk about a bunch of different things. But, you know, here's one source. And this was a story that came out in the Daily Caller, I'm not sure what it was, in late January. And talked to many players and many people around the Eagles. Quote, on Carson Wentz, he's had his ass kissed his whole life and sometimes acts like he's won 10 Super Bowls when he hasn't played in, let alone won, a playoff game yet. Everyone around him wants good things for him. He did more thinking on the field than he did playing. You don't have to be a brain surgeon or a football expert to see how differently his team plays and reacts with one guy as opposed to the other. I mean, doesn't that sound like something Michael Bennett would say?
Yeah, yep. It's bitchy and eloquent. Both,
yeah,
and good, those Murray. Are two things that Michael Bennett and his brother at times can be.
Very good.
You know?
Exactly right. Dicky and well-spoken. Yes, absolutely.
And then there were some tweets in that story from Eagles players, including Zach Ertz and Fletcher Cox on the defensive line in support of Wentz.
Yeah, so it began like this whole Twitter back and forth between people with and around the Eagles supporting them, and et cetera. So Maz sort of wondered, was Michael Bennett one of those voices?
I mean, to me, that's the question I have. Is I think there's a locker room problem there, and that they looked at Bennett and said, "See you later." And then they went out and got Malik Jackson to replace him. And also, when I go back to what Murray had Jeff McClain on at the Philadelphia Inquirer over the weekend, McClain said he's not sure how good Bennett was in the run game. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's Malik Jackson's strength. He's a run stopper. He's sort of a very traditional, run-stopping defensive tackle. So, like, they sort of said, you know what? We don't need Bennett. We can get to the quarterback. See you later. He's an a-hole. He's undermining our quarterback, which is the bigger issue. But we do like a tough defensive front, so we're going to go out and get Malik Jackson instead.
Okay. Or is a suspension coming for Michael Bennett as well? And there's still this case pending down in Houston, where after the Falcon Super Bowl, your Falcon Super Bowl, Michael Bennett was there to watch his brother, Martellus. And when the game ended, pushed his way onto the field, and in so doing, pushed a couple of female security guards, including one who was a paraplegic in a wheelchair. Apparently, he pushed her back into her wheelchair. And after some time, authorities down there ended up pressing charges. Except they kept postponing the arraignment, postponed about a half dozen times. And now that arraignment is supposed to be March 27th, the day, just again, coincidentally, as we pointed out last week, the day before Robert Kraft and his arraignment in West Palm. And again, with the Patriots, that March legal calendar is filling up quickly. So if you got issues, you know, get in there because the days are going by. But anyway, so his arraignment is now at the end of March. And whether he's guilty, innocent, charges dropped, no contest, community service, however that plays out, is the league going to look at that and say, we're going to have to suspend you for pushing a paraplegic? Not what we're looking for. And so is he facing a suspension? Was that one of the reasons Philly wanted to move on? Is this something you obviously have to be aware of?
I mean, I rule out nothing. But if you're asking me, I don't think that's it. Do you?
Why he was let go of Philly?
Right.
No, I'd say the quarterback thing is far more relevant to the Eagles. And not saying that one's better than the other. I'm just telling you the way these things work.
Absolutely. So look, and again, we all know which is the worst transgression in the real world. But if you're the Eagles, if you like the player, you take the suspension. You just put up with it, like Dallas did with Ezekiel Elliott. We'll wait it out. The player's good. We like him. We're going to keep him.
And then this is now do you want to hear something that's really going to piss you off? I mean, look, he can kneel for an anthem. He can sit on the bench during the playing of our country's colors. He can throw a defensive coordinator under the bus. He can throw his quarterback under the bus. He can push down a paraplegic. But when he abuses a dog, now we have issues. And he didn't even really abuse the dog, but he's also labeled with this story. Headline, June 2014, Seattle Seahawks Michael Bennett settles with Tampa kennel where he abandoned his puppy. Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett has paid nearly $15,000 to a Tampa, Florida dog kennel where he allegedly abandoned his four-month-old dog when he and his wife moved to Seattle. When Bennett, a former member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, signed with the Seahawks last offseason and moved to Seattle, he left his boxer puppy, Koa, at Tampa's Lucky Dog Daycare in March 2013 and never returned. After repeated unsuccessful attempts to reach Bennett and his wife, Lucky Dog filed a lawsuit in December to recoup more than $5,000 that the Bennetts allegedly owed the doggy daycare. Meanwhile, Koa, the dog, remained at the kennel, all but abandoned after the Bennetts moved to the opposite corner of the country. The puppy required at least two walks a day and had to be separated from other dogs because it had not been fixed. Attorney, blah, 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 blah. This outrages you, Murray.
Yeah, but at least it was at the kennel. It's a puppy. It found a home, and he ended up paying it back. It's an a-hole move. But yeah, this is one that gets my back up. Mm-hmm.
He left it at the doggy daycare, you understand?
Still don't like it. Separation anxiety, it's a bad thing to do to the dog or any kind of
animal. I'm
sorry,
separation anxiety
for the puppy. Yeah, I know it's a real thing.
The four-month-old dog.
Yeah. Thus why it ended up having to be separated from the other dogs, because it freaked out because it had a home and it had a family, and here it is back in Gen Pop with the rest of these other scum dogs.
Gen Pop. So look, I admit that I don't know the whole story here as it pertains to the dog, but based on the details you read me, I'm starting to wonder who's the bigger a-hole, Michael Bennett or his wife? Like, they called him and his wife about the dog, and his wife ignored the calls, too?
Right. What's she doing?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the way the Bennetts roll. I don't know.
Wow. Like, I mean, you know, I don't think I'm telling you. A lot of women are far more compassionate human beings than men are. Like, she blew off the dog, too? And again, it was at daycare, so, you know, let's keep it real here. But nonetheless, she didn't return the calls either?
The Bennetts dodged phone calls and emails and even disregarded court orders throughout the ordeal, said the attorney in the case. Even after a Hillsborough County judge ordered a judgment of about $8,200 in the spring of 2014, the Bennetts continued to ignore the case. In early June, the attorney filed a motion for contempt of court, the prosecutor. That seemed to attract the attention of Bennett's agent, whose attorney recently contacted the prosecutor to work out a settlement. After all the added legal costs, the Bennett's settlement grew to nearly $15,000, though they initially owed the doggy daycare just $5,000. Blah, 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 blah. Okay? Hardly the highest crime against humanity that they just left the dog at the doggy daycare. It's not like they just left it in the empty condo, Murray.
Could be worse. It certainly could be worse.
It could be worse. But still, I think just sort of, when I said generic a-hole.
Yeah.
I think.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.